Hello everyone, I'm Ani Avedisian. Welcome to Metaphysical Martini, three parts spirit, one part rational mind. Add two drops of optimism, give it all a good hard shake and pour, dress it with the olives of grace and empathy, sit back, sip slowly, and contemplate the wonder of cosmic co-creation. And hearty hello to everyone out there. Hello, hello, hello. Thanks for joining this crazy old lady for yet another round of cocktails on this week's Metaphysical Martini, the show that tries to sort out what's true, what's a woo, and what gets flushed down the loo. In a world so befuddled and mentally muddled, we have to ask, how many times do we flip-flop from Biden's auto pen to the issue surrounding Marie Le Pen? What underhanded deals are being made by the shady, faux liberal, kind of Muslim, fake communist guy person thing in New York? Perhaps his brain function would approve if he ate a bit of pork. What's going on with Big T and the files? Will any of this end up in court trials? Why are Democrats protecting cartels? Ah, it must be because they get money from drug lords and assorted ne'er-do-wells. But the question that gives our mind glitches and bugs, when will the deep state stop creating all these floods? Welcome back, Martini Heads. It is lovely to be with you again. I raise my glass to you. That's not a bad drinky poo. If you are joining us for the first time, be advised this show, an eclectic mix of metaphysical mishmash, is not politically correct because we do not wish to erode the intellect. Nothing here is woke. We know the agenda behind the fake vaccine poke. We don't wear a face cloak. In short, we are libertarians who voted for Trump because we read the writing on the wall, and the writing was not good. Without the white hats, you see, my darlings, America, the entire world, would be under the control of one world government, the ultimate Luciferian construct, a slave planet of post-human automatons serving their reptilian overlords with the aforementioned lizards carefully terraforming the planet into a giant vivarium. And it almost happened. I wonder if people realize just how close we came to being downgraded from sovereign soul to something one scrapes from the bottom of a toilet bowl. Martini Heads, we believe America has a sacred purpose to lead the world into some sort of secular spirituality. A world where God is represented through the self-realization of each individualized soul. So we're talking God without religion and politics without partisan affiliation. You serve your country by putting the needs of your country first, not the needs of your political colleagues or the needs of the corporate big spenders that you made deals with. We don't need a left and a right for that. That is just another tool of division. Because we all know, sweethearts, red or blue, it's us they screw. So let's do away with all that partisan bullshit and have one American assembly, and let's get back to citizen legislature. No more career politicians, because clearly they're all corrupted. They have sex with children for money, for power, for status. They should be placed in gibbets and displayed in public. I mean, it's a long and slow, painful death, but a small child dies inside when it is penetrated by an adult. So they are destroying lives for their own gain, for money. What is the correct punishment for that? The information on these files, such as they are, will be released in some form. Of that, I am sure, and I have to warn you all, if you see them, you will never be the same once you see these children buggered and tortured, and you will never be the same once you see toddlers traumatized and terrified prior to extracting the materials for adrenochrome from them. And your blood will boil to think that grown men and women engage in these acts for status. Men and women who go about their daily business in DC as though nothing is amiss. To those men and women who have fallen very, very far from the garden, you made it all the way from the garden of God into the fetid swamplands of the hill. Did you honestly think you would get away with it? Were you told that it was too big for exposure? Don't worry about it. Make hay while the sun shines. Don't worry about other people. Take care of your family. When my people take over this sad, sorry little planet, your name will be on the protected list and you will come to no harm. You know, I was told the same thing many moons ago. But you know what they say, if something sounds too good to be true, it usually is. There's also another way of looking at these things, which is a very sort of a common sense approach. If it's a get-rich-quick scheme, and you only get rich by causing irreparable damage to others, every cell in one's being should be repulsed by such a notion. A sane person wouldn't even consider it. But greed, it makes people insane. And the mental health epidemic that is about to be unleashed on planet Earth, now that we are a few years into seeing people boosted, vaccinated, and completely out of control. All those little videos you see of people having meltdowns on airplanes, except that, my darlings, it's only just begun. So situational awareness, my good people. Look left, good, look right. Look to the top, look to the bottom. Look all around you and avoid conflict, because conflict, it's going to be a daily event. What do we have for you on today's show? Well, we have Quack, of course. Questions, answers, and comments. That's always the meat of our show. And because we are all just a little oversaturated by the flips and flops of the current misinformation war, we will ignore current events completely on the show today. And we will concentrate on all things paranormal. Huzzah, huzzah. And today's podcast is titled Haunted Happenings. So for those of you who don't know about my background or my work, I'm a general metaphysician who specializes in paranormal anomalies and am therefore very busy in the home and property clearing department. And I will also say I am a lovely lady who was trained by some very bad people. So when I talk about black magic and the deep state and reptilians and things of that ilk, I assure you, I know exactly what I'm talking about. And I have made decisive contact with all of the aforementioned parties. After Quack, we'll visit some of my exceptionally brilliant, non-peer-reviewed poetry. And then, of course, we will end the show, as we always do, with the cocktail of the day. And I did promise you cocktail lovers out there that I would spend a little bit more time talking about the cocktail. And indeed, I will keep that promise. So let's get on with the show, and let's start with Quack. Questions, answers, and comments. My delicious darlings, if you would like to share the morsels of madness swirling around in your noggins with martini heads all over the known universe, send your emails to me, because nobody else will read them, Ani@aniavedisian.com. Or if you prefer the snail mail option, Cosmic Ani, P.O. Box 714, Wilsonville, Oregon, 97070, USA. And don't forget to let me know if and how you wish to be identified, or I will be forced to refer to you as omit personal details. So let's shake up the fishbowl of perpetual perplexity and see what pops out. I'm a shaky, shaky, gonna shake off that little fishbowl. Ooh! And of course, this week we have chosen Haunted Happenings as our theme. So all the questions we have chosen are paranormal themes. And let's just grab one. And this is from Cristiano. What a lovely name. Cristiano, who asks, what is, hands down, Ani, the weirdest paranormal project you ever worked on? Whoa. Cristiano, mi amigo, that's a tough one, because anomalies, by their very nature, are all weird. And I'm still taken by surprise every now and then. I guess the weirdest one would be one I did on the East Coast a few years back. Let me see if I can recreate this for you in the corridors of my mind. An entity was bothering humans and animals on a ranch. And no matter what I tried, I could not prevent these entities, this entity and its friend entities from returning to the property and attacking the occupants. Now, this is unusual because, with residual hauntings being an exception, and also, the very rare odd code locked haunting, any property can be cleared of redundant energies. So I had never encountered these particular energies before, and thank God I never will again. I astrally projected to the property because I live on the West Coast, and I was attacked by what can only be described as midget, copper-colored goblin robots and a small swarm of them, actually. And the attack was enough to bruise my body, draw blood, and put me in bed with an unknown infection for 3 days. Now, that is not completely unusual for somebody with my background. We go into places that other people fear to tread, and even though you're in astral form, you can be affected by it. But here's the point. That was an astral projection. I was not in body, yet it registered on my body. So while I was in bed recovering from the goblin bot attack, one of those same bots tried to attack me in my own home, but it was caught up in my multi-layered light grid. My home is a minefield for those with malicious intent. Good luck getting in there. And if you do get in, of course, I'm heavily armed, so good luck to you. But this thing, this goblin bot, it got to within 10 feet of me, which is far too close for comfort. So what was I thinking at the time, other than, oh my God, this is exciting because it's something new, and oh my God, something came to within a few feet of me. My thinking was, these are obviously not spirit forms. These have to be some sort of extraterrestrial or an extraterrestrial product in physical form. And that is a different type of battle. Or negotiation, if you prefer the term. It is one thing to go in and deal with things that have moved on and are not in physical form. But when you're dealing with things that are very unusual and they are in physical form, that's actually a face-to-face battle. It's almost as though it's the same as if somebody accosts you in the street and tries to mug you. So I sought the advice of a friend who has multiple and ongoing relationships with all manner of ETs. But we started by talking to the God of this universe, who said to me, Ani, I have no idea how to deal with this, but I know someone who does, and I'll put you in touch. Now, I have to say, hearing the divine say it had no idea how to deal with something was a surprise, and a little bit unnerving. But it was suggested we speak with the director of Earth Communications of the Ashtar Fleet, and that is a being I know quite well and love dearly, the very handsome, the very adorable Commander Hatton. And he knew all about them, and here's why it's so weird. These beings were beamed in from a different universe. So here's the story behind it. A judgment was made against a root soul in this universe, the one that we occupy. And the judgment was to erase the root soul's life force. And because he must have done something horribly bad, okay? And when that happens to a root soul, every being descended from its bloodline drops dead. That sounds brutal, but it's just the way it is. If the root soul is corrupted, then the fruit too must be destroyed. Now, soul level petitions are allowed, but from what I understand, it's a given that everyone dies. So this root soul did not want to die. So it somehow escaped to another universe. But in order to survive in physical form, it created these goblin bots to come into this universe where he originated and collect plasma and other materials needed to keep his body alive in the other universe. So, I mean, I've dealt with a lot of dark shit in my life, believe me, but this was just unusual. How does someone like me fight against something like that? I mean, we're talking about interdimensional, you know, people escaping and going from one dimension to the other, which is not easy to do unless you know the interdimensional mafia who can open a portal for you. So how do I fight against that? Well, apparently I don't. The only way forward, really, is to track down and destroy the bots, which, by the by, are programmed to taunt and to torment. And Hatton himself said that most of the victims of these attacks take their own lives or become seriously mentally compromised. So he very kindly sent out some of his space cadets to track them down and eliminate them. And lo and behold, the attacks slowed down and they finally stopped. One of the things that you learn in my line of work that slaps you in the face every other day is humility. You will never know everything, and you must be comfortable with that. And the goblin bot, that face is etched in my memory for all time. And, you know, I wonder sometimes what happened to that root soul. Is he there in the other universe, unable now to send these bots forward? Is he dead? Is he alive? I mean, do I care? Not really. As long as he doesn't bother me or my clients, I suppose he can do as he pleases. But I would say that's the weirdest, because I have never encountered an errant root soul on the run from, you know, the celestial FBI before. That was a new one for me. And I'm very grateful to Commander Hatton and to his space cadets for sorting that out for me, because what can I do? I don't have a spaceship. I don't have an intergalactic Dumble Blaster or whatever they're called. Thanks, Hatton. We'll forever be grateful to you. Thank you, Cristiano, for reminding me of that very interesting episode. Okay, what else is in the fishbowl of perpetual perplexity? Let's take another email. This is from Tonya, who is a dental assistant in Oakland, California. Oh, Oakland, you used to be a nice town. I don't know what you are now. A big bloody mess the last time I was there. But, you know, hi, Tonya. I hope you're happy living in Oakland. Tonya says, is it possible for anxiety to leave a human body and turn into a spirit or some other type of being? And she says, I ask because I sometimes see odd shapes falling off people at the dental clinic. People are understandably nervous before dental work, and I wonder if they are creating ghosts, which then stay in the office and cause problems. So that's the question. And it's a good question. Anxiety is a vibration, and all things physical are caused by the vibration of all thoughts non-physical. So anxiety can't really create ghosts, because ghosts are people or animals who have died, but it can and does produce emotional dust bunnies. So if someone was sitting in the dentist's chair for half an hour and pouring anxiety into that space, and of course I can imagine that the waiting room is full of anxious dental patients, for sure the next person to sit there is going to feel it. There is a quick fix for it though. Clear and reset the energy at the end of each day and bless the space every morning. And don't be afraid to give the room a quick zap of love in between patients. You know, I clear, as I mentioned before, I clear, you know, property. That's really most of what I do. It's 50, 60% of my work is clearing property. And I've been into many medical clinics and hospitals, and these are very much places where angels and demons meet and they skirmish. And it just so happens that people like me can help with this. Now, I, for example, have a service where I come in and I talk to your team about energy. It's not all woo and stuff. You know, I'm very, very practical in the way I talk to people, especially medical people. I talk to them about how to keep the energy clean and warm and relaxed. And I also will perform a full clearing. And for busy clinics, I have a program where I visit the clinic monthly and perform a full clearing. So call me or email me for rates. People don't believe it will make a difference, but once they've had the service, they are all very surprised by the results. And I do not have to be on location to provide the service, obviously, because not everyone lives in Oregon. I work all over the world, and I can do that remotely. So just get in touch with me if you have problems like that. Thank you very much, Tonya, for that question. Moving on to the next email. Let's see. This is from Mina. It could be Mina. I don't know. It's M-I-N-A. And she's from Glendale, California, as a also known as the Independent Armenian Republic within Glendale, California. Huge Armenian population there. So I really hope all of you are here legally, because if you are here illegally, the Iceman cometh, people. Okay. Get your stuff together. Get your shit together. Get your papers together. You shouldn't be here illegally. Mina says, I am asking about spirit entities that attack only animals. Do you know anything about such a thing? My cousin's cats are always staring at a certain part of the ceiling, and they sometimes hiss at it. We humans can't see anything there. Never have. Animals see and hear things beyond the reach of human eyes and ears. I think we all wish we could see and hear what they see and hear. But, you know, they also sniff each other's butts. And, well, I could live without that, to be honest. So, Mina, when you say attack, do you mean cause bodily harm or just have contact with? Because it's important to know the difference. There are many beings out there, and they will all have their agenda. Pets are easier to pick on than humans. They're smaller, unless, of course, you have a pet elephant. Most contact with otherworldly beings are not harmful. Ghosts, for example, can't eat food. So to live, even though they are actually dead in our terms, in lieu of food, they need a zap of our electrical life force. So that's why so many people and pets report being touched gently in the night. They just want a zap of energy so that they can, you know, last another day. That said, and I don't have my notes with me, but this was about 3 years ago that this started. I've lost all space-time. You know, I don't know where I am in space-time most of the time. I think it was 3 years ago. I started getting calls from people whose small animals had been attacked, and some of them viciously. So I asked a professional animal communicator to help me out, and the animals all had the same story. A thing that looked like a large bat flew in through the ceiling and attacked them. And one poor doggy needed so many stitches in her little body. Oh, it was such a painful thing to experience. She's such a sweet dog. Anyway, so they see this bat-like thing, and it comes in through the ceiling. So it's coming from above, and it attacks them. And, you know, once they had attacked, they never returned and were never heard from again. Possibly because they were unable to live too long in our environment. So where were they from? How does this happen? Well, all points in space-time exist simultaneously. Our rate of vibration determines our realm's frequency. And let's give credit where credit is due. Our universe is actually quite stable. These floods, by the way, that we are experiencing, they are all man-made geoengineering products. Projects, all of them. I hope you understand that this level of flooding cannot be a natural phenomenon. Phenomenon. Sorry, guys. That Muppets episode is forever in my head. One of my favorites. Anyway, back to the weird things attacking animals from the ceiling. Once in a blue moon, cracks or pinholes appear between realms, and if a being finds itself too close to one, it could get drawn in and find itself elsewhere. And if that happens to you, you might be panicked enough to attack the first thing you see. If that does happen to you, all you pet lovers out there, because these attacks have stopped now, or at least they've stopped being reported to me. First of all, of course, take your pet to the vet, but then call your local shaman, or call me if you don't have one, and get the place cleared, because you never know what they brought in with them from the other realms that could just be lying dormant, waiting to see how they're going to interact with our realm. So Are there beings that attack only animals? Probably, possibly. I don't know of any being that just attacks animals. What these beings are that did attack just the animals, I don't know. But the sense that I got was that the humans, because most animals sleep with their humans, that the humans were too big and too intimidating to attack. So, well, that's good, I suppose. Thanks for the question, and thanks for reminding us of that. What else? What else? Let's take this one. This is from a chap called Rand, whose mother obviously read the Wheel of Time trilogy, Rand Althor. And Rand asks, is it possible for someone to create an entity just using the power of their mind? Ooh, I want to answer this question, please, miss. Yes, let me take a sip of my drinky poo. And at some point throughout the show, I always say, let me double check this drink to see if it's a winner or a sinner. This one is one of my favorite drinks. It's not a new one. It's definitely a winner. And if I didn't stick to my one drink a week minimum, I mean maximum, one drink a week maximum, I would also be a sinner because this is a delicious classic cocktail. More about that towards the end of the show. Back to Rand's question, is it possible for someone to create an entity just using the power of their mind? Yes, it is, because ultimately that's how everything in the cosmos was created, from no thing but our thoughts. You see, our thoughts came in and our thoughts created all things. But it requires an investment in time and training. And I have to be honest and see, I have seen people get into quite a bit of trouble when their creation takes on a mind of its own. The most common expression non-paranormal people would have heard of is the Buddhist tulpa, T-U-L-P-A. So a tulpa is derived from the Tibetan word for manifestation or creation. It is a distinct personality or entity created within one's mind through focused thought and imagination. So it's like having an imaginary friend. But the twist is that this friend develops its own thoughts, its own feelings, its own behavior, and it can often surprise its creator. So the more detail that you put into creating this character, the more control, although that's not a good word, you will have over it. But it is going to think and act independently. That is the essence of a tulpa. And this idea has been around for eons, and it's deeply rooted in various cultural and spiritual traditions. Tibetan Buddhism, obviously, has practiced the creation of thought forms as a method of spiritual development. It's a known thing. In the West, perhaps they don't know too much about tulpas. We think of them more as there's a very odd little world. It's an egregore. These are actually quite similar to tulpas in so much as, well, the difference, I think the main difference is, because this is something we worked on back in my younger years when I worked for an organization that doesn't exist. It takes several people to come together and create a thought form so that you can create one of these egregores with to influence people, to influence events. Perhaps, to inf you could even you could cause a lot of trouble is what I'm trying to say. But it takes a group to create it, and it takes a group to maintain it. We thought of it as a type of artificial intelligence, really, but very much under the control of the people that created it. You could also do this on a level, a sort of a slightly lower level. For example, if a lot of people, a great many people, get together and they start to believe in an urban myth, an urban legend, a folk legend, some sort of entity might develop around that. If so many people are feeding their energy into their beliefs, into a single idea, something could be created out of that. And again, perceptual engineers back in my day use that type of thought form to control groups of people. Is there a way out of it? Of course there is. Make sure that 100% of the cells in your entire being are occupied by spirit and not by ego. I have my own little tulpa story. Many moons ago, I consciously created a tulpa in the form of a miniature horse. I don't know why I have a fondness for miniature horses, possibly because I'm only 5'1" and I wouldn't want to ride a very big horse. I don't know. Anyway, I created this horse. I programmed it and I sent it out to gather intelligence in places where my energy anatomy, even in astral form, might have been recognized and removed. Remember, I have a past working for organizations that don't exist. Those are all military operations. Anyway, one day, my little tulpa decided not to return to me. It sent me a vision of itself bathing in a very large, very cold lake. It told me it wanted to be free for the remainder of its life, and it was never going to see me again. Well, most of my friends would say I got lucky, because there are plenty of stories of tulpas that won't leave you alone, and instead they become a thorn in the sight, in the side of their creator, and they're a real bugger to get rid of. So if you want to explore that type of thing, you need to be in control of your own mind 100% before you can create one of these beings and have a hope in hell of creating it. Lovely question. Thank you so much for that. I'm moving on, moving on. I have to say, it's really refreshing just to get back to paranormal and to leave politics and the world aside for a while. Like in the old days when it really was metaphysical martini, now it's more of an eclectic mix. Because if you're going to let the spirit inhabit the human, you can't separate worlds. You have to know how spirit and human interact and what works together for the betterment of mankind. But I'm having a lot of fun today. Let me have another sip of this drink. Oh God, that's lovely. Okay. What do we have here? This is from Dean in Santa Rosa, California. And Dean says, "Dear Ani, I would like to know exactly what kind of a ghost a poltergeist is and why they cause so much damage. Are they human? Are they alien?" He has a lot of questions here, but I can't answer them all. But I'll answer them next time. Let's stick to the poltergeist here. I don't think a poltergeist activity has anything to do with ghosts per se, and many in my field agree with me, because I know the term means knocking a ghost, knock, knock, because they are noisy, and some of the poltergeist activity can be dangerous, with drawers flying open and cutlery flying across the room and people's refrigerators bouncing across the kitchen and opening up and assaulting the children with soy sauce and ketchup. But honestly, in my experience, the activity is caused by some manifestation of overcharged energy, whether that's geophysical or kinetic energy from hormonal teenagers or, things are just going south at home, who knows? But I really think it's more of a geophysical energy. And by that, when I talk about geophysics, I'm just not using words randomly. I'm talking about, natural science concerned with the physical processes and properties of the earth and its surrounding environment. Mother Earth has trapped a great many energies underneath her, and every so often they do have to come out. I have never in all my years witnessed one in action, darn it, because, timing. But I have shown up on location on one less than 20 minutes after it died down. And that was quite a trip. It was in suburban West London, which was my old home before I became a proud American. Suburban West London, UK, which is now fighting its own version of takeover by the Islamic Caliphate. Anyway, by some weird portal connection, several items from Tunisia showed up in this lady's formal parlor. So we used to have formal parlors back in the day, What did we find in there? We found a bottle of Tibarin, which is a date liqueur, a digestive from Tunisia, a plate of half-eaten Tunisian cookies called, I think they're called kakambart, and an article that was cut out from one of the Tunisian daily papers in French. And there was also a half-eaten sweet lemon and some foliage native to Northern Africa. If anyone's ever been to Tunisia, the tiburin's quite nice, but the lemons are sweet. You can eat them like an orange. So it was nice to see one of those again. Now, okay, this is really weird because we've had this kinetic energy, this poltergeist energy in suburban West London. And this woman goes in and there's a few things missing from her living room, but she's got this Tunisian, this Tunisian stuff in her room in Southwest London. Now, portals can be created to transport items from one part of the planet to the other. How do you think the pyramids were built, I guess? But that is a conscious creation. So what could have caused items from Tunisia to end up in West London? And I will never know. But somewhere in Tunisia, someone marveled at how on earth an English coffee table lighter, a packet of Tribor mints, and someone's knitting ended up in their Tunisian home. That was fun. I wish I could have witnessed it. You know, I really need to be present in the energy when it happens. But the chances of that, well, you know, the chances of that are the same as Kamala Harris having an IQ of over 80. So, you know, probably not good chances. Shall we take another? Let's do it. Oh, let's do this one. This came in on the email just this morning. And it's from Dickie Dale. I don't know if that's your real name, but it's from Dickie Dale in Newark, New Jersey. Dude, I hope you're not flooding out right now. I have seen the pictures. They are not good. Anyway, Dickie Dale, or whoever he is, this is not your real name, I can tell. Dickie Dale is part of a local paranormal group, and he's an enthusiastic Ghostbuster. Good on you, matey. He says his father was an untrained medium, and Dickie Dale spends every spare minute he has looking for things that go bump in the night. And he writes to me, "Dear Arnie, I just saw this on Gateway Pundit. What do you think, weird or not? A paranormal investigator has died while touring with the infamous haunted Annabelle doll. Dan Rivera, 54, died on Sunday night while he was in Pennsylvania with the Annabelle doll as part of his Devils on the Run tour." Well, that was his first mistake, wasn't it? Adams County medics and firefighters were called to Rivera's hotel room on Sunday, gave him CPR, but he was later pronounced DEAD. The cause of his death is still under investigation. A paranormal investigator on this creepy haunted Annabelle doll tour in the haunted battlefield town of Gettysburg has died completely out of the blue. That's the headline. So there he is, Dan Rivera, he's 54. He's in Pennsylvania, Devils on the Run tour, hauling the infamous Annabelle haunted doll across the country. And then firefighters and medics show up to his hotel because he's dying. So, did the doll kill him? Because his exact cause of death still remains unclear. But Rivera is very well known in the paranormal world, and he was doing what he loved, bringing spooky legends to life. But tragedy hit. He'd built, I'm reading most of this from Gateway Pundit, by the way, so just so you know, because this is what Dickie Dale sent me. He'd built serious ghost hunting cred and a social media following off the eerie superstitions tied to Annabelle's haunted past. Now, for those of you who are unfamiliar with the Annabelle doll, it's a Raggedy Ann doll that has been housed at the Warren Occult Museum. Warrens, Mr. and Mrs. Warren were self-taught demonologists. I have my own views on them. A nursing student back in 1970 originally owned the Annabelle doll. But after the doll reportedly started to cause disturbing events, paranormal investigators Ed and Lorraine Warren took possession of it after claiming that a demonic spirit possessed the doll. And the doll inspired the movie Annabelle, which is part of a series called The Conjuring. Anyway, Dickie Dale wanted to know my thoughts on whether or not an object can be imbued or coded or cursed or blessed. Is it true or woo, Annie? Let me take a drink and I'll let you know what I think. Sip, honey, sip. Do not gulp. You're a lady. Okay, it's true. Because intention, my darlings, is a powerful tool. So these Warrens, Mr. and Mrs. Warren, self-taught, self-professed demonologists, they worked on cases like Amityville, werewolves, the Smurl family, the Perrins, the Stepney Cemetery, Bawley Church, the Union Cemetery, the famous haunting in Connecticut. So, they've been around and they attract these demons and they seem to know what to do with them, apparently, in their own minds. The Warrens do confirm that most of these unwanted spirits enter through vehicles such as Ouija boards, which I have said time and time again, do not use. And they do urge parents and guardians to keep their children away from Ouija boards and all sorts of things like that. So anyway, back to this. The real life Annabelle story began in 1970 when the 28-year-old nurse received a Raggedy Ann doll as a birthday gift from her mum. Why are you giving a 28-year-old woman a Raggedy Ann doll? It probably meant something to them. She put the rag doll on the bed, began to notice it changed positions. A leg would be crossed, or the doll would be lying on its side. Then the girl and her roommate began to find parchment paper on the floor with written messages such as, "Help me, help us." They didn't have any parchment paper on the house. The doll began appearing in different rooms and at one point appeared to be leaking blood. Then, one day, a male friend was taking a nap and woke up with the doll staring at him. And he felt like he was being strangled, and there were deep scratch wounds on his upper body. The girls at first thought maybe an intruder was moving the doll and leaving notes. I suppose that could happen. And when they ruled that out, according to the Occult Museum website, which is where the doll, was housed before it went on tour. Not knowing where to turn, they contacted a medium and a seance was held, a seance. The girls were introduced to the spirit of Annabelle Higgins, said to be a young girl that resided on the property before the apartments were built and died at the age of seven. And according to the website, the spirit related to the medium that she felt comfort with the two roommates in the apartment and she wanted to stay with them and be loved. And the roommates gave Annabelle permission to inhabit the doll, but things got worse. So when the Warrens took an interest in the case, and they contacted the women, they came to the conclusion that the doll itself was not, in fact, possessed, but manipulated by an inhuman presence. I think one of them said, truly, the spirit was not looking to stay attached to the doll. It was looking to move on to possess a human ghost. Possessions are rare, but they do happen. They do happen. So I would say, my darlings, there are more things in heaven and earth than are dreamt of in our philosophy. So I want to thank you, Dickie Dale, for, for that shout out. Here's what you should do with dolls like that. Things do get attached. Have you ever been, are you an empath on any level? Have you ever walked into a secondhand shop that is filled with ancient stuff that thousands of people have touched? And are you ever repelled by something or attracted to something? Any kind of energy can attach to anything, up to and including a human or non-human fully formed spirit ghost. So, thanks for pointing this out. One of the questions he asked is, how would I deal with a situation like this? It's really very simple. I would take the doll lovingly and put it on the bonfire and set it aflame. Down to its ashes, and then I would mix in the ashes with charcoal and wash it all away. Fire is very purging. Well, my darlings, I think with that, and by the way, I'm just going to have to say, Dan Rivera, RIP, mate, you did good work, you followed your passion. As far as I know, I don't remember ever meeting you, but people say you were a very decent bloke. And if Annabelle took you out, man, I'm so sorry. But Would you be kind enough to contact a reputable medium and tell your side of the story? Because inquiring minds just have to know. And with that, we wrap up our quack haunted happenings this week. Yes, we do. And I think I deserve a little drink for going through that with you. Cheers, my darlings. God bless you all. And if you don't believe in God, may whatever you believe in bless you. It doesn't really matter as long as you're a decent person. And now it is time for a tiny pat of poetry. Da 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 da. Yes, folks. After a hard day shamaning, I like nothing better than coming home, putting my feet up, and having a nice cup of tea, or, if I'm honest, a small drinky poo. After which I am chill enough to write really bad, but occasionally brilliant, non-peer-reviewed poetry. Because, my darlings, I think we can all agree my poetry has no peer group. I think somebody told me recently, your poetry is either really good or really bad, and I can't make out which one. And to which I think the proper response is, gosh, thanks. This is one I wrote earlier this year, and it accurately describes my feelings on that venomous, misled munchkin of doom named Greta Thunberg. Stupid little cow, I can't stand her. Okay, moving on. I have titled this One Tries Hard Not to Be Sour, but some peeps need to be thrown from their ivory tower. Here we go. Oh, angry, venomous carbuncle on the backside of mankind. Your face resembles a stomach dyspeptic. Your mood is the pith behind the lemon rind. I wish your parents had used prophylactics. A poster child for an evil agenda gone wild, you became prime time's most useful idiot. Your tiny head is aligned with Rothschild and his reptile-scaled grueling affiliates. I mean you no harm, you poor misguided peon. Life is a buffet, but you are not an Epicurean. If you could see past the ruse for which you have been used, you would know that you are guilty of that for which you have been accused. Did I put too many words in the last line there? I'll have to take a look at that sentence again. But there you are. As you get older, and I will be 66 this year. Good Lord. I was 26 last year. This year I'm 66. What happened to 4 decades? As you get older, you just don't really care about how people perceive you anymore. What becomes important to you is how you perceive yourself and if you're true to your own self. And I think I'm a lovely person. I think I'm generally quite mild-mannered and quite kind, and I'll do what I can for people if I can. But I'm very honest about how I feel about things. And if I want to call somebody a venomous carbuncle on the backside of mankind, that's exactly what I'm going to do. So there. Let's do another poem, just because, just because. And this one is called Darlings, It's All One Big Show, If You Think About It, Nice and Slow. Here we go. If only we could go back in time to when things were better, is a common cry among the bewildered. Back to the time before we were debtors, before common sense was so brutally filtered. Those times were not perfect, nor were they good. That's just a veneer that was cast like a spell. Call it nostalgia, but we were winked by the hood. We were trained to confuse heaven with hell. Our labor built a table and filled it with tasty morsels, food that was marked for our future use. But we were distracted by television commercials touting rage, fear, desire, credit cards, and Grey Goose. If we feel we have reached ridiculous realms and that the darkness grows ever nearer, we are correct, for something certainly smells. It's way past time for us to reconsider. Those at the head who are bashing our heads and demanding our world become smaller, they will all hang as we clean up the feds and expose the lipstick on their collars. When does it end? I'll give it a go. I'll make a presumptuous prediction. This all ends when people say no. So let's start practicing constructive eviction. It's going to ramp up until we say no more. And that's always just before the precipice. It's time for the sheep to be lions and to roar and awaken mankind's new genesis. Poetry brought to you by the one and only Annie Mad Shaman Abedissian. And darlings, if you like my poetry, please torture yourselves further by going to my Substack on the Abedissian Substack. I post something pretty much every day on there. It's free. However, if you want to do a paid subscription, I certainly won't stop you. And please know I don't take these things for granted. I am deeply appreciative of even those little $1 tips that come my way. Thank you all very much for taking time out of your day to make my landlord happy. And I always write a little prose after a poem. And after that one, I see that I had written, "My dearest darlings, if you want to speed up the process of returning to sovereignty, refuse to comply. Mass non-compliance and some selective covert elimination tactics are the only way. Stop tolerating abuse. Stop playing the victim. Stop burning bridges while your oppressors are crossing over them. Their goal is to humiliate and utterly destroy all free thinkers. Our goal is to make them as redundant as Sauron became once the One Ring was destroyed. A mere shadow, unable to take form. A distant memory of times when good men lost their minds for no reason." Did I say stop burning bridges while your oppressors are crossing on them? I think we should start burning bridges while your oppressors are crossing over them. My darlings, oh my God, are we getting close to the end of the show? I think we are. I think we're getting close to the end of the show. I'm about to finish my drink. Hold on. Let me just take the last sips of pleasure to warm the cockles of my heart. Hold on. Oh my gosh, that is one of my favorite cocktails ever. I like it best. I hope you enjoyed listening in as much as I enjoyed recording this podcast, because I had a blast. I always do. I look forward to every other Wednesday when I can get together with my producer in Miami and just blast out anything I want to blast out and talk to martini heads all across the universe, known and unknown. Now, my darlings, today's real life cocktail was, wait for it, one of my favorite all-time classics, the White Lady. Ooh, the White Lady comes down the stairs every day at 4 o'clock, wrings her hands and moans, "Oh!" And then up she goes back into her room and isn't seen until 4 o'clock the next day. That is a residual haunting. And this lovely libation, is it a libation? It's a libation. I'm obviously quite libated because I called it a libation. This lovely libation was created by a chap named Henry McElhinney. He spells it McElhone, but I can't, it's got to be McElhinney. And he's also the same chap who was the founder of Harry's Bar in New York and Paris. And I particularly like this chappy because he created the Sidecar, which is another lovely classic cocktail. But back to the White Lady. Dedicated to lost ghosts all over the world. So when you drink this delightful little fancy, please say a prayer for all lost souls to be moved on to higher realms. Here's how you make the White Lady. You use 1 ounce of gin, and I just use a mid-range London dry gin. 1 ounce of Cointreau, for which there is no substitute. It must be Cointreau or it must be death. And then 1 ounce of fresh lemon juice. So get yourself a cocktail shaker, fill it with cracked ice, add the ingredients, and you want a hard shake with this one. Shaky, hard, so that the flavors are integrated and it's chilled. 25 to 30 seconds is more than enough. Then you pour it into a chilled martini glass, and then you enjoy it. The best cocktails, in my opinion, have four or less ingredients. Because remember, darlings, when you enjoy the occasional cocktail, you are inviting your body to a quiet little dinner with good friends. It's not a rave, and it shouldn't be something you regret the next morning. So let me remind you yet again that cocktails are great if they are an occasional treat. If you use the best ingredients you can afford and take the art of mixology seriously, one drink is all you need. I'm Oni, mad as the day is long, Aberdeesian. This was a metaphysical martini, a production of Cosmic Reality Radio, to whom we are most grateful. Mwah, mwah, thank you. Shout out to mysticalwares.com for graciously arranging the distribution of this show across realms known and unknown. Mysticalwares.com, your one-stop internet shop for all things metaphysical, including a ridiculously, I say ridiculously large selection of authentic Russian shungite from Shungit. My darling Tavarishas, you must buy all that you can. Mysticalwares.com. When it comes to metaphysics, they are the bomb. Until we meet again, check out my website, aniavadisian.com. Check out my Substack. And if you choose to make a meaningful contribution to my work of letting the spirit inhabit the human so that all the stupidity can leave our precious planet, I thank you in advance. I am most grateful. You have all been very generous of late, and believe me, it has not gone unnoticed. So don't allow yourselves the luxury of having thoughts of lack and limits. If you find yourself stuck and looking for solutions, all that is needed is to let the spirit inhabit the human.